Thank you for joining us today. At Cross Church, we believe people need Jesus, people need each other, people change the world, and people leave legacies. Our desire is for you to understand, accept, and grow in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening. If you would like to know more about Cross Church, please visit crosschurch.com.
Let's turn our attention to the best sermon ever, which is nothing I've ever preached. It's nothing Pastor Nick or Pastor Ryan or whoever stands here, nothing we've ever preached. But 2,000 years ago, Jesus preached the best sermon ever. Best sermon ever. It takes up three chapters in your Bible, Matthew 5, Matthew 6, Matthew 7. And we're going to take 11 weeks this summer and look at this one sermon that was preached. We kind of set the scene for us last week. So Jesus is on a hillside. He's got the Sea of Galilee in front of him. He's got his 12 disciples with him. And they're like close. And this sermon is really for them. It's for those who are following Jesus. This is a direct word for everyone who follows Jesus. So he's got 12 followers. But we know from the text that there are literally hundreds of people who are like curious, like they've heard about this guy, this new teacher on the scene. He's saying things no one's ever said before. So hundreds of people are gathered, and they're kind of like pretending they're not listening, but they're listening. And they're all kind of like gathered around. And here's the deal, Jesus knows they're listening, and he's perfectly okay with that. So like today, I would say this, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, this is a direct word for you. You need to be leaning in close. But if you're here today listening online, and you're not sure about Jesus, you're curious, you have questions, you're checking him out, you found your way into the room because somebody invited you, and you kind of really want to know more, but you're cautious, so you're kind of leaning in. Hey, here's what I would say. Jesus knows you're leaning in, and that's okay. Just listen and see what God might have to say to you today. Today, Jesus has a lot to say. We got a big section of scripture. We're going to look at verses 17 through 37. That's a whole lot. Okay? And Jesus is going to challenge us today. So get ready. You're going to be challenged. I promise you. You're going to be challenged on what you think it means to live for God. You may think you know what it means to live for God. Jesus is going to challenge all of that. We're calling this Live It Out Part 1. Live It Out Part 2 is next week. And what I'm going to do here, I'm going to do something we don't normally do. I'm going to read the whole text that we're going to preach on today at one time. I'm going to read it all at once. I'm not going to read two or three verses and stop like we normally do. I'm going to read all of it at once. And now if you think about it, this is kind of how it came to the disciples and the crowd when they didn't get commentary every, you know, two or three sentences. They got the whole thing, boom, 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 just delivered to them. And the way it would work is in that day and age, the rabbi would be the one that would sit and everybody else would be standing and listening. And so we're just going to kind of like, in the vein of all of that, I'm going to read all of this at one blow here, 17 through 37, which is just a section. And why don't we all stand? Why don't we all stand as we listen to the words of the rabbi, as Jesus takes his seat in the throne room of heaven, and let me, on behalf of Jesus today, echo these words that he uttered 2,000 years ago. You ready? Now, if you don't have a Bible, it's all on the screen behind me. Just follow along. Here we go. These are the words of Christ. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, but whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So, if you're offering your gift at the altar and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you're going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard and you be put in prison. Truly, I say to you, you will never get out until you've paid the last penny. You have heard it said that you shall not commit adultery. But I say that to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out, throw it away. It's better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, throw it away. It's better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife except on the ground of sexual immorality makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you've heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but you shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it's the throne of God, or by earth, for it's his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. All right, everybody take a deep breath. There's a lot there. You may have a seat. A lot going on there. Let's pray and ask God to help us with this today. Let's do that. Father, we come before you. Here we are again. We're back. We have gotten out of bed. We've dressed up. We've come to church. We've sang worship songs to you. We've now opened the Word of God. And we've been confronted, really, with the words of your Son. So, Father, open our hearts to understand and to know and embrace what you would have us understand and know and embrace. Father, would you guide me along the way? I don't want to say anything that you don't want me to say, so guide me in that way. And everything that needs to be said today, God, would you guide me to say it? And I pray, God, that you would sprinkle this message with the blood of Jesus. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen and amen. All right. You know, if you were to get in your car this summer and head west, destination Colorado, destination Rocky Mountains. You know, that's one of my wife and I, Julie, it's one of our favorite places. We love to go to the Rocky Mountains. We've got a little place outside of Colorado Springs, that little area we like to rent an Airbnb periodically and just go spend a few days in the middle of the mountains, and it's just absolutely stunning. But you know, as you're heading out of Arkansas and you go across Oklahoma, jet up into Kansas, head across Kansas, super flat in Kansas, you cross over into Colorado, and guess what? It's still super flat. Some of you have driven that before. It's just like, you know, where are the mountains? And you just got to keep driving, man. You just got to keep driving. Eventually, you will see the Rocky Mountains. The ridgeline starts to form, and as you get closer and closer, it's just stunning. And the mountains, they just stay the same. From generation to generation, they're just always there, and they're just there, and they're just stunning, and they're beautiful. And there's certain peaks, there's certain ridgelines that stick out that make it recognizable that, you know, you're staring at the Rockies. But the Rockies are vast. Like, if you get up into them, you can get lost. There's valleys, there's gullies, there's trails everywhere, waterfalls, there's rivers that cut through it. It's absolutely fantastic. And you can experience the Rockies completely differently when you're inside of them than when you're outside looking at them, right? When you come to a text like what we just read, there's a lot there. Like you can say one thing for Jesus. He sort of cuts to it, doesn't he? He covers a lot of ground real quick, you know, but more than I tend to cover in terms of speed. And so there's a lot going, and you could dissect this, and people have, they've written books about it. In fact, these 21 verses I just read, we could easily spend 4 to 6 weeks like really diving into this and just really exploring the trails and the valleys and all the various hidden features that are like in here. But we don't have time for that today. And in fact, we're going to take a different look, and it's a good look. We're going to take the stand back and look at the ridge look. We're going to look at the lines and look at the peaks and look at the shafts where the snow are. You know, the features that really stick out. And so, you know, even as I was reading this, I suspect that there were certain parts of what I was reading that may have jabbed at you, may have stung a little bit, may have landed a certain way. That's where I want to live today. Now listen, as I get into this, and as you're thinking about what you just heard, the tendency is to like dissect it and get into it, and there's a place for that. You may have questions. What about this or what about that? There's a place for that. It's just not today. Today we're going to look at what I call the big rocks of the Rockies, you know what I'm saying, the big features. Today is one of those forest trees days. You know, we don't want to get so caught up with the trees that we miss the beauty of the forest, and because Jesus is painting a beautiful picture here. So let's look at what I call the big rocks. So big rock number one, this is what I would say. Jesus didn't come to negate the Old Testament, he came to accomplish its purpose. You know, your Bible has two halves to it. There's an Old Testament, there's a New Testament, and you know, the way we're kind of driven in life, we all love new stuff, right? So we tend to kind of disregard the old, we love the new stuff. Old's not really a great descriptor. A better way would be to say the first covenant and the second covenant. Okay, because there's kind of a thinking that goes, well, Jesus has come now. We're in the New Testament period. Doesn't that mean that the Old Testament is like he's canceled that out and it's not relevant and there's nothing there for us anymore? And so Jesus like totally hits that head on. He's like, no. You don't understand. I didn't come to get rid of the old. I came to accomplish its purpose. So the question then becomes, what was the purpose of the Old Testament? And I'll put this on the screen. Let me tell you what the purpose of the law was. The purpose of the law, which is the Old Testament, the purpose was to convict us of sin and to reconcile people to God. Because you see, here's the deal. All of us are tainted with sin. Me, you, I'm no better than you. I might be standing here, but this is an artificial elevation. It's just wooden and steel and carpet. I'm the same as you. And we all are infected with sin. And God is holy. He cannot be attached to sin. So that means there's a separation. And so the law was designed to like highlight and help us understand that we're sinners. Because a lot of people don't even know they're sinners, man. I mean, a lot of people say, oh, I'm good. I mean, everything's great with my life. Incidentally, last week, Jesus, if you've paid attention last week, the question Jesus had last week was not, are you good, but are you pure? Blessed are the pure in heart. You stop somebody on the street and say, hey, man, are you a good person? They're going to tell you they're a good person. Everybody's going to tell you they're a good person. But if you ask them, are you pure? Well, that's a whole different question, isn't it? They'll probably just stare at you. Pure. You see, we can't get close to God, and the law helps us to understand. Listen, the law helps us to understand we can't do it. We can't do it. You know, we know about 10 of the laws, right? We studied them in the Exodus series, the Big Ten, the Ten Commandments. But did you know that if you read the whole Old Testament, that there are actually 613 total laws. So we're all good on the 10, right? Maybe you can list the 10, but how many of you know the other 603? Anybody? So you know, hey, here, ignorance of the law is no excuse. Heard that one before? Here's the deal. We can't do the law, which is why we need Jesus. See, and that's what Jesus is announcing here. He has come to do what the law could not do, to reconcile us, to bring us to God, to take care of our sin, and to bring us to God. And he's going to do the heavy lifting. All of this is foreshadowing at this point. It's still 3 years away from the cross, but all of this is pointing towards the cross. Jesus is going to be the one that gets us there. Big rock number two, as we just stare at the mountain range today. Big rock number two, you better be good on the inside with those on the outside. You better be good on the inside with those on the outside. So here's what he says. You know, we all understand what murder is, and very few of us, hopefully none of us, have committed murder. But what Jesus comes along and says, if you've ever been angry at your brother or sister, guess what? You've committed murder. Well, that sounds harsh. I mean, everybody's been angry with somebody in their life, and that's sort of the point. That's sort of the point. And he goes on even farther. If you know you've got a grudge against somebody, you need to stop what you're doing and go take care of that and then continue on. If somebody's got something against you, you need to stop what you're doing and go take care of it and then continue on. Don't even think about bringing a baggage in your heart towards someone else if you're trying to get close to God. And so what Jesus is doing here now, he's sort of hinting where he's going with all of this. I'm going to put this on the screen because this is kind of it. This is the money moment. Listen to me. What Jesus is saying is that what is happening in your heart trumps what you do with your hands. I mean, you can do all the right things on the outside and have it all wrong on the inside. I'm telling you, people do. Most people spend tremendous amounts of energy to make sure it's all good on the outside, thinking that that's good, that's it, they're good. When everything on the inside is just a total mess. And very little attention, if any, is given to the inside. You can look good on, listen, you all look good today. I'm just gonna say, I'm up here, I got the advantage of seeing the whole crowd, and I mean, you guys, now those of you at home right now, maybe not so much, but you know, But those in the room, you got up, you know, you took care of stuff in the bathroom, you went to your closet, you put some thought into like what do I want to wear today? Like, what's going to look good on me today? Mission accomplished. Y'all look great on the outside. But Jesus says it's really not about the outside. I can't see the inside. I don't know. Jesus does. And he's basically saying that if your heart is impure, then nothing else on the outside matters. All the effort you put on the outside, that doesn't matter. Big rock number three. Hold on this one. Lust equals adultery. Okay, I know what you're thinking. You probably were thinking it as I was reading it too. Like, this is one of those lust equal. So wow. Okay, Jeff, that one cuts to the chase, doesn't it? That sort of like gets to it because you know no one wants to be an adulterer. There are very few tags, very few labels in our culture today left that carry any level of shame with them. We've taken labels that at one time carried shame with them, and we've become very proud of them, particularly in the month of June. But adultery is not one of them. Adultery is one of those labels that continues to carry with it a lot of shame. And what Jesus is basically saying here is, listen, you need to do whatever it takes. Like whatever, he's talking about chopping off body parts here. What he's saying is, you need to do whatever it takes to control your eyes and to control your hands, whatever it takes. So for some of you, if your smartphone is giving you a problem, you need to get a dumb phone. Whatever it takes. If the internet is giving you problems, you need to learn to live your life without the internet. And newsflash, we have been successful for tens of thousands of years with that until the last, 25. Well, I don't know if I can do that. Whatever it takes. Big rock number four. Marriage is a sacred treasure. Look at that again. Marriage is a sacred treasure. You see, something that is sacred is holy. Something that is a treasure is something that you protect, that you keep behind protective, you know, barriers, that you polish, that you cherish, that you show off, that you prevent people from stealing, that you treat with great care. That's what a treasure is. And apparently, 2,000 years ago, maybe just like today, there was an issue during the first century where people were not taking marriage seriously. And they were looking through the Old Testament, the law, all of these laws, and they were finding all these loopholes. Like, oh, you know, I think if I, you know, theological gymnastics is what we call it. You know, the Bible is, I know it says this, but I think if I make it say this, or, you know, and they were finding all kinds of reasons to do away with their marriages. And Jesus is basically coming along with all of that going, hey, listen, there are, yes, there's a very limited, you know, like, set of reasons why you might could get divorced, why it would be permissible. Listen, even though all divorce breaks the heart of God, all divorce does. But there might be some very limited circumstances, you know, where it's permissible. But boy, you need to really cherish marriage. And you really need to do everything you can to take care of it and to treasure it and to lift it up and to preserve it. Marriage is a sacred treasure. Big rock number four. And then big rock number five. Big rock number five. Be a person of your word. Be a person of your word. Now, there's a cultural issue here. Like, we were reading through this, and I did a little study on this. Apparently, in the first century, the Jewish population played games, like very specific oath games. They were called oath games. Jesus called them out as games. And basically, it was very common to say, oh, you know, I swear on, you know, heaven, or I swear on earth, or I swear on Jerusalem, the great city, or I swear, I don't understand this one, but I swear on my head, you know. So literally, these were literal oaths that people would take, and Jesus calls each one of them out, and he basically is saying, listen, you know, quit playing games. You just need to let your yes be yes, let your no be no. Quit looking for loopholes, pinky promises, all that, you know, cross my heart, you know, got, you know, my fingers crossed behind my back. Quit. And just, if you say something, do it. And be a person of your word. I think that's the big rocks, don't you? As you're driving towards the Rocky Mountains and you see the mountains from a distance, I think that's what sticks out. Now here's the deal. We're still at the beginning of this, dude. This is week 2 out of 11. So we're going to climb up into these mountains a little more. But Jesus has covered a lot of territory already, hasn't he? But here's what's clear. Listen to me. Here's what's really, really clear. Jesus is way more concerned about what you look like on the inside than what you look like on the outside. You may never be convicted of murder, but your heart is just all kinds of screwed up with anger and hatred and disdain for somebody or for many people. You know, you may never commit adultery, but you just can't keep your eyes off of other women or other men. Should it be the case? You may drive a nice car, you might live in a nice house, everything looks great on the outside, but you treat your marriage like trash. And you may look so good on the outside, and you've got slick words, but when it comes to follow through, you're just really, really slippery. And once again, Jesus is only getting started. No, listen, don't make no mistake about it. Old Testament, New Testament, Jesus did not come to take away the law, he came to take it up. And here's what is super clear to me. We all fall short. When I say we all fall short, I mean we all fall short. I mean all. I mean, listen. Do I have to read it again? I'm not going to, but you know, as I was reading verses 17 through 37, are you telling me that Nothing in that pricked you just a little bit? Like, ooh, ouch. Maybe on the outside it's all great, but on the inside where nobody else can see? Whew. And some of you in here, man, it was like raining darts down upon you as I was reading what I read. The greatest sermon. That's why it's the greatest sermon ever. I would say this, if it stung and hurt, you're not alone. You're not alone. I'll finish up today, but I want to read one more verse to you. And I'm going to go way back for this one. By way back, I mean the book of Genesis. That's about as far back as you can go, all right? I'm going to go all the way back to Genesis. I'm going to go to chapter 6. So it's a long book, so this is like towards the beginning. It's one verse. One verse. Which sort of just kind of just says it all for where we are today. It says in Genesis 6, verse 5, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And look at this, that every intention of the thoughts of his what? Say it, heart, was only evil continually. You know, that's you. That's me. And that is why we need a Savior. Would I ask that you bow your head, close your eyes, no one looking around. And I wonder how has this fallen on you today? Where have you been burned and stung today by the words of Jesus? The best sermon ever. I want to talk to my brothers and sisters in Christ, those who have said yes to following Jesus. Just because you said yes and you've been a Christian for weeks, months, years, whatever, that doesn't mean that you don't still struggle, isn't that right? That you don't still have your issues with sin. Paul calls it the sin that so easily ensnares us. And so, you know, today, as you are looking at the inside, you're looking at the part no one can see. I can't see the inside. Only you can, and God can. And that's it. But as you're looking on the inside right now, and if you see something you don't like, I just encourage you to, like, really do some business with God today over that. Our altar will be open in a few minutes. You can come. You can pray. Just between you and the Lord. I have found that sometimes that helps to just do something, make a physical move. Really, really helps orient the insides. So the altar's open if you want to come and pray and just do business with the Lord. I want to talk to a second group of people online and in the room. And that's those of you who've never said yes to Jesus. You've never made a move to follow him. You're not alone. We've all been there. And you might be sitting back going, oh, you don't understand, man. My sin is so ugly. Jesus knows the ugliness of your sin, but he's not repulsed by you. You may not believe that fully, but I'm telling you, he's not turned off by you. And he went to the cross for you. And he's basically saying, why don't you give me the ugly? Give me all the ugly. Give me all the impurities in your heart. Give me all that stuff you're ashamed of that you don't want anybody to know about. Just give it to me. It'll be between you and me. And let me take it to the cross for you. You may find it difficult to believe that such a thing could be possible, but I'm telling you, it's possible. And this room is full of people who've said yes to Jesus, and he has taken our sins away. We still struggle. We still fight. But we have a Savior, and you can too. And if you'd like to have your sins removed and taken away and forgiven today, I want to invite you to pray a prayer with me. I'm going to pray it out loud, and you can pray it in your heart to the Lord online. You just slip to your knees wherever you're at, your hotel, your house, in the room, just sit in your chair. And if you're ready to follow Jesus, you can pray a prayer like this. It goes like this. Dear Lord Jesus, just pray that, dear Lord Jesus. I know that I'm a sinner. Just admit it. just admit it. He knows, I know, we all know, we all are. I know that I'm a sinner. And I cannot save myself. So Jesus, I'm asking you to save me. Would you take my sin away? Would you take my sin to the cross with you? Just ask him right now. Take all the ugliness and the impurities inside of me. Just take it away to the cross. And I want to say thank you for doing that. I don't deserve it, but thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. And Jesus, I want to ask you for the free gift of eternal life. Would you give that to me? That when I die, because my sins have been forgiven, I can now be with you in heaven forever. Forever. And I don't deserve that, but thank you anyway. And right now, Jesus, I'm asking you to come into my heart. Just invite him into your heart. Come into my heart, and I choose to follow you. Just pray that I choose to follow you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to close us in prayer. When I say amen, I'm going to ask a bold move of you. I'm going to ask you to come to the front if you prayed that prayer. If you prayed it online, I want to say welcome to the family of God. Would you email us this week? Let us know that you said that prayer so we can celebrate with you, answer any questions you may have. And as you come to the front, I want you to come to one of our staff members if you're in the room and just tell them you prayed the prayer and let us celebrate with you. We will not embarrass you at all. We'll just pray with you and celebrate with you. Father, would you move in this room? Call us to the altar to do business. Call the lost to salvation. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you have questions about what you have heard or would like more information about your relationship with Jesus, please email us at info@crosschurch.com or visit our website at crosschurch.com. At Cross Church, our mission is to reach Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world for Jesus Christ.